You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. And I'm Rob Artigo, guest host for another edition of Tough Things First. Paul Moore is here with me today. He worked with Ray Zinn for quite a long time at Mike Krell. So it's exciting to have both of you here to talk about some of these important issues.
Yep. Thanks, yeah. Rob. Good to be with you.
And
good
16 to be with whole you, years, Paul. Rob. Oh, sorry, Ray. I talked right over you. But no, I wanted problem. To remind Rob it was 16 years. Can you believe that, Rob?
And I'm sure.
I was a young, squeaky engineer.
I'm sure it went by fast, too, like everything does these days. So what are some of the – I'll ask both of you, because both of you have been involved with starting companies, running companies, even coming up with ideas that not necessarily ever became companies but were things that you thought about doing and maybe got into a planning phase, at least to some extent. But what are some of the major hurdles in 2017 that startups face?
Okay, so That's a good question. It depends upon really what the Trump administration does to encourage new businesses. And one of the things that he's talked about is, of course, reducing the corporate tax structure, especially for small businesses. So I can see a sliding scale such that a small business would have even a better tax structure than, say, a large company. For example, he's talking about an average of 15. So maybe he drops it down to 10 or 12 for a small company. Or maybe there's a tax credit that we could get for starting a company. So again, we're too early in the gestation of the Trump administration to know exactly what he's going to do. But my recommendation, if I were sitting on his advisory board, would be to offer incentives for startups. In other words, actually incur, maybe give them a holiday, maybe give them a 3-year tax holiday for starting a company, or maybe make it easier for them to borrow money from the Small Business Administration. So there are various things that can be done to, I think, to encourage startups. There could be an advisory council that is available through the government to help companies in managing their company through, because there's a lot of costs like legal and accounting and so forth that the small company can't afford. But if the government would allow them access to these facilities to get legal or accounting advice at no cost, that would help out small startups.
Paul, do you see this as clearing hurdles, or do you have some other ideas on some hurdles that small business owners face these days?
Well, I think those are really good ideas Ray has. MIT does that for its graduates. They help, some people offer their services as an attorney, for example, for the alumni of MIT. So certainly other people have thought of those ideas, and they definitely help. For me personally, I think your question is limited to what the government can do to help. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I was thinking in terms of hurdles in general that startups face, but obviously the government angle is a huge part of that. So I would say it's broader than that, but certainly not limited to government.
Okay, so I know many very talented engineers out there who aren't employed, maybe by choice because they've made quite a bit of money and they want to start something of their own. Here's the hurdle, and it's just bizarre. There's this huge aggregation happening. All these companies are merging, and this company's buying that company. And I'm not sure if it's really apparent to everybody in the world that that's happening in the semiconductor world, but it should be big enough now that people have seen it. Avago buys Broadcom, becomes Broadcom, changes their name. So if you think, okay, you have all this knowledge at designing transistors. Why don't you go off and do it? It takes millions and millions of dollars of equipment in order for me to use my talents and my skills. So that's very difficult for a person to do on their own. So unless we have the government, I don't know why I'm turning to the government because I usually don't, but unless you have some big investor or you find a smaller area within the field to contribute, it's going to be very difficult to get some of those jobs back like mine. It's quite a challenge. So I think people are going to figure it out. They always do. The designers that I know are creating chips and they're going around trying to say, hey, look, how much does it cost you in the huge company to develop a product? And this is a complaint that I hear from a lot of my friends that have joined the bigger companies, the huge aggregates. It costs them so much more than it did when they were a small company. So now I'm seeing designers trying to say, hey, I have a chip. All you got to do is put your stamp on it. It will cost you less. So I'm thinking that maybe some of those kinds of things are going to start to happen, where smaller, more agile companies that can just provide a design service will work together with a very large company that's slow and chunky.
Ray, let's talk a little bit about locale. Does it matter where we start our businesses these days? When it comes to tech startups, for example, does it really matter the locale where we do it?
It depends upon the talent pool you need to do it. So if you have a talent pool that's readily available, then you could go anywhere. But that's not the case. And so you have to go kind of where the infrastructure is to allow you to do that startup. If you're an oil and gas company, then you have to go kind of where there's sources for employees with those skill sets. So it does matter. If you're going to be just a consultant, then it depends upon the area where you want to consult. You know, we live in a virtual office environment where you could work out of your home and look like you could be anywhere in the world. So from that point of view, it wouldn't matter.
Are there any other hurdles that startups face? When we talked about the talent pool, you've got to be aware of that. The location, it can be important as it relates to the talent pool. And also the corporate tax structure, particularly as it relates to small businesses. Are there any other hurdles that a would-be entrepreneur should be aware of now in 2017?
There's always the raising of money has been a hurdle, but that's not unique to 2017. If anything, that the cost of money is going to go up, and so you know we need to be aware of that. And typically, a startup raises far too little money to really start their company. I say that if you're going to start a company, you should have enough money already raised before you start the company to take you to break even. So most companies don't do that. They have this grandiose view that revenue is going to happen in a much shorter time frame. And it never does. Nothing gets done as quick as you'd hope. And you know, revenue doesn't come in as quick as you'd hope. And you run out of money. So you have to control your expenses if you see that your product is going to be delayed or your revenue is being delayed. You got to cut expenses. Otherwise, you're going to run out of money. And running out of money means you got to go raise more money. It takes more time, effort. Also, you give up more of the company. So don't delude yourself into thinking that you're going to get profitable within a year or two. So, you know, you got to be able to run on empty, as they say.
And I think Ray, the startup culture among many of the young minds, we're talking just out of college type age group, when they start their businesses, I hate to say it, but delusional is often comes to play because they often have unrealistic valuations, unrealistic expectations, and they're pretty cavalier about using terms like burn rate, how fast they're spending money and that sort of thing. But it can be a problem if you're not realistic, and that's what I'm hearing in that answer.
Yes, the biggest problem that the startups make is that they always overestimate the revenue they're going to get and underestimate the cost. So it's a double whammy. And what I would recommend is that you control costs at all expense, and then your revenue, when it happens, at least you'll be able to survive. You'll have enough runway to continue. Whereas if you don't, you're going to run out of money. Most companies run out of money within 2 to 3 years.
Paul, you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't have the kind of experience Ray has, but I definitely see those as barriers. You know, I saw my dad create businesses, and he would always say, yeah, people never know how much they really need. You know, that just seems to be what all the older and wiser people have told me through the years.
Is there a person that you would recruit onto your team early that can number crunch that sort of thing for you? Or is that something that you should really rely on yourself for looking at the numbers and making sure that they match up?
Well, it's always good to have somebody that will act as a counter to you so that you don't end up spending, you know, you're, as they say, drinking your own Kool-Aid. I had Warren Muller, who was my partner, and he was a counter to me so that we didn't get, you know, just my view of everything. We also had his view. And so it's always good to have another a person, probably a third party, that would come in and help you look at what you have, so you're more realistic in your projections and your costs. So yes, absolutely. Get a mentor. Get a third party to come in and look over your shoulder.
It's all about having somebody you can trust, who can give you that, who can be that bouncing board, or that somebody who can say something to you that is realistic but won't hurt your feelings and throw you off your game, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you again for another great podcast, Ray. We have Paul Moore on the show with us right now, and I'm the guest host, Rob Artigo. We'll see you next time.
Thanks again, Rob. Thanks, Paul, for joining us.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.